Hello, I'm Michael Climes, Acting Editor of Money Marketing, and welcome to our final podcast of the series with Tennet Group, the UK's leading advisor support group. This week, we speak to Amanda Ford, Managing Director of Tennet Financial Services, about how advisors can reach their potential as a self-employed advisor.
So welcome Amanda to our podcast today. How are you, Amanda?
Good morning, Michael. Yeah, I'm great. Thank you. Good morning. My name's Amanda Ford. I'm Managing Director for Tennet Financial Services. A little bit about me, first of all. Harrogate born and bred, mother to Max. I've actually worked at Tennet now, at the Tennet Group, nearly 18 years. Came in as a three-day-a-week administrator and have worked my way through several different roles, including our events department, our recruitment team, so onboarding new advisors. And then back in 2020, we launched Tennet Financial Services and I stepped into running that business. So excited to talk to you today, Michael.
Fantastic. And I'm very excited to talk to you as well about this subject of being a self-employed advisor. I think a good place to start is, what are the differences between being a self-employed advisor and being part of a network?
Yeah, great question. So as an advisor, you're within an appointed representative firm or a directly authorised firm. That firm might actually use a network for their services, or they might use a compliance services business for their support and authorization and compliance oversight. But as a registered individual, so as an advisor within a firm, either wealth or mortgage and protection, you have no influence or responsibility around the running of that business, or in fact, the regulatory requirements that that business has to adhere to. That would actually sit with the network and the directly authorised firm itself and be the responsible of the principal or the non-advising directors within that business. So if I talk about the example of Tennet Financial Services, we are an appointed representative of Tennet Connect or Tennet Network Services, as it's outwardly known, and that is the network, so that the firm and the advisors are within Tennet Financial Services.
That's a great and really comprehensive answer. Thank you. And what kind of advisors does the self-employed route attract, do you think?
Yeah, got quite a bit to go through here, actually. There's quite a few options. So if I talk, first of all, about people who are currently in an employed position, they might be in an employed position wanting to take that step into a self-employed position, but actually feel that that leap to running their own business is quite a big jump. You know, they've been used to the salary, they've been used to the support that an employed role gives them, but then all the things that they would have to think about setting up their own firm might just feel like too big a leap. We often talk about it as jumping into the icy pond. Joining an established business already allows that advisor to learn about being self-employed, but also allows them to focus on building their client bank, because typically somebody moving from an employed to a self-employed position, they don't always get the opportunity to take their clients with them. They also get the chance to set their income off from the ground, and that's all without the distractions of running a business, building a brand, setting up the marketing, because they're going into a business that's already set that up. Another route is trainee advisors. So advisors who've completed their qualifications, whether that's in wealth or mortgage and protection. And from our experience within the Tennet Group, having just done qualifications and again, running your own business and learning the advice journey is quite a lot all at once. So actually, if a trainee comes into Tennet, we encourage them to join Tennet Financial Services. Again, because this allows the trainee to focus on the understanding, learning and implementing the advice journey. And again, similar to what I said earlier, it stops them having to think about running the business at the same time. As well, if a trainee is joining an experienced business, there'll be other advisors there that'll have different experience, so they'll be able to share best practice and learn from them. and the business behind them is already established, has the track to run on, and so they can just follow that route. We often talk about self-employed roles being quite a lonely place, but by joining a firm, you've got a group of people around you, not only the advisor base, but probably the employed team that are running that business as well. And I would also, certainly as we do in Tenet Financial Services, I would expect that firm to help create opportunities for those advisors to mix and for the trainees to grow and build that client bank. If I can just add something on the trainee side, Michael.
Please do.
It's a bit of a hot topic for me around the competent advisor status, the CAS status. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of an elephant in the room as we talk about it here at Tenet. Yes. You know, it's a requirement that people that we have, you know, we have it as an entry. If you're coming in as an experienced, how do you evidence your CAS? And I often look at mentor programs and trainee programs, and there's no real commitment on how long it takes to get competent advisor status. Mm-hmm. And we've often found people coming to us that are two and a half years down the line of being a trainee. And that's quite a long time to have your hand held, have that level of oversight. And they'll get you writing business really quickly, but you're usually going through pre-sale or you've got a mentor watching over you, or you're on an extra level of checking. I suppose it's an opportunity for me as well, just to say on the Tenet mentor program, we commit to getting people to competent advisor status within a 6-month period, because we want to get them up and running. We want to get them self-sufficient. We want to get them out seeing clients, and particularly in the mortgage world at the moment, where you need to be quite fast paced and you need to be on it. You can't be waiting to set up a meeting with where the mentor is also available at the same time as the client.
That's all fascinating. I mean, I have to admit, I didn't know that there were sort of so many different routes or ways to become a self-employed advisor, and all the, you know, various benefits, so on and so forth.
There's one more.
Please talk about it, because have we mentioned about four so far?
We've got employed trainees. Mm-hmm. And obviously within those, there can be wealth or mortgage and protection. And then there's existing people who are already self-employed advisors who might be in another business. And that goes back to your first question around, they might be in an appointed representative firm, or they might be in a directly authorised business. And many of the reasons why somebody considers to perhaps change the established business that they're already in and move, we find a lot of it's driven by the sales management within the firm that they're in. So being self-employed, we encourage, you know, self-driven motivation. We're not sales management, we're not targeting, but I have seen that elsewhere. And it's a bit of a cultural thing in financial services. I think we need to be careful of that motivation and that target world. Yeah. We've had people that want to spread their wings, so they might be in a family business already, or they might have been in the same place for quite a long time, and they want a change. They want to be treated like an individual somewhere, but be part of something else. Mm-hmm. They might want to work for a larger organisation that's maybe got longer term opportunities. So, for example, at the Tenet Group, if somebody came into Tenet Financial Services as a self-employed advisor, in the long term, they would potentially have the opportunity to join the network or to actually become directly authorised. So they make that move once and they've got a future. It's not just coming into Tenet Financial Services. There's a couple of other options all under the same roof as well. So proposition, if there's been a change in proposition where that advisor is already at, they may want to consider changing. So that could be, has it gone down a restricted route, or are they being pushed by a certain fund selection process? And that might not be working for them or their clients, and they might want to venture out or retain their whole of market status. A passionate one for me is around the support that those advisors get. So whether they've gone into a firm and been promised a level of support, or is it a real life person support? Are they getting what's promised? If not, they may consider a move. When it comes to self-employed roles, flexible work-life balance is always super key. It's what people are looking for. Cover that off a little bit later in one of your questions as well. And then finally, they might move for exit opportunities. to that option to retire, sell their client bank, and that the where they are might not do that, and they might look for somewhere else to go and do it. So just to, yeah, that there's plenty of opportunity for people to join an established brand, depending what route they've come from. Plenty of routes.
And in terms of all those, you know, routes, are there any trends that you can mention to us? Are some routes more popular than others or more known than others? Can you tell us why?
That's an interesting question. So at the minute, obviously, the recruitment market, you know, it's hot. You know, people are looking to move. I certainly think in the employed space where people are wanting, I talk about being the master of your own destiny in a world where potentially redundancy over the last couple of years has been a risk, and people want to put themselves back in the driving seat. Also, I think people have taken a consideration on, you know, what their future looks like. So trainees taking exams and moving career completely. So it's funny, as I'm talking, I literally could answer a reason for all three. You know, with changes in other networks, that would be a reason why people would move. Mm-hmm. So not major trends. I think all three sort of sit on a par, Michael.
And what do advisors need to consider before they go down the self-employed route, do you think?
Yeah, Matt, great question. I think the first one is for us that we talk about is motivation. So why is somebody considering joining an established business, whether that's going employed, self-employed, or making the move from another firm? I recently did a poll, which was interesting to see the drivers for going self-employed. And it was across any industry, but predominantly it was around that flexibility and freedom of their work and that master of their own destiny that I've just mentioned. I'd have been interested actually to do that poll pre-COVID, because I personally believe both of those factors have really been highlighted over the pandemic. That ability to work from home, flexibility around family, has just been showcased to people to give them an example of what working for themselves could be like. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, that risk of redundancy was high and people wanted to be in charge of their own future and not leave it in the lap of their employer. So yeah, that motivation around why. We do, as part of the onboarding into Tenet Financial Services, and I'd recommend this for anybody, is a business plan and cash flow forecast session. That really allows the advisor to understand the commitment that they're making to that move, and showcases also to the business, in our example, Tenet Financial Services, the support that person's going to need. And we would typically then work with that advisor on that business plan for their first 12 months. And that comes back to what we said earlier around them setting their own targets. You know, it's not me saying, you know, you need to do X amount of turnover. They're driving that themselves. Cost, always going to be a consideration. You can typically expect when joining an established business, a charging structure, which will probably cover three areas. So there'll be a retention on any income that you bring in. There'd be regulatory fees, so FCA and PI, and then any technology and software that you're using. In some cases, you'll see it as an all-encompassing charge, you know, a single percentage of the amount of business. And then if somebody's transparent enough, they'll be able to share with you how that's broken down. And it's always an interesting consideration that we would do with somebody to say, you know, review that against setting up your own business by yourself, where you need to consider what you're paying for staff, what you're paying for marketing and general business overheads, which in what we're talking about is already covered. It's already covered by the business. Finally, I think it's earnings. I would be crazy in setting somebody up to fail if I said, you know, you're not going to have a little dip in earnings, especially if you're moving from employed to self-employed. But for me, I certainly see it on my head in Tenet Financial Services to get somebody up and running as quickly as possible so that they don't have that dip. But I think it's just something to consider. And that's done in the cash flow forecasting as well. And the business that somebody joins might offer some financial support. to get you started. So mm-hmm. that might look like a fee-free period. It might be some cash flow management where the firm covers some costs while you start to earn. And in a few rare cases, I see firms that offer some kind of funding upfront. My advice would always be just check how that's expected to be paid back or what commitment you're being tied into with that funding. So, yeah.
And is there any, when you look at the sort of self-employed advisor space, is there any generational angle to it? Are, you know, younger advisors potentially more interested in going down the self-employed route than older advisors maybe, or?
Yeah, good question. I definitely think there's more of a drive now. I think we've just talked about what the impact the pandemic has had on people and how they want to work, and that ability to have that work-life balance, that flexibility around home. You know, that's more prevalent now in younger generations, absolutely. And obviously that's where typically people are in the employed and self-employed. But we also see advisors who have been in their own established business for quite a long time. You know, they might have been a principal in a business themselves, and actually now they want to take their foot off the gas a little bit. They want somebody to lighten the load. They want somebody to, you know, do all the business running. And obviously we talked about exit opportunities earlier. So they just want somebody to take that off their plate. So we see the other end. And I've certainly spoken to advisors within our network recently who've said, gosh, if I was starting out now, I'd want a business model like Tenet Financial Services, you know, the regulatory squeeze, everything that they've got to think about, the oversight. It takes them away from seeing their clients. So they'd want that opportunity for somebody else. As I always talk about, doing the legwork for them.
Yes. And what do you think is the single greatest benefit from being a self-employed advisor? What do self-employed advisors what do you hear most often that they tell you that they love the most about it?
Yeah, do I only get to get say one?
okay, should we do three?
Brilliant, I love that. It's a bit like the routes to entry. If you made me pick one, I'd struggle.
Yes.
I think we've mentioned it a couple of times. I won't labour on it. It's that flexibility and freedom. We run Tenet Financial Services as a franchise. You know, the structure, the business model is behind the advisor, but they decide how, when they work, how much they work, and what they earn. So that flexibility to do that is brilliant. So that definitely comes top of the pops. I think one of the most underrated ones that people don't consider when joining an established firm is if you're self-employed, you don't tend to get holiday and sickness cover. And what I mean by that is, self-employed people go on holiday, they're taking the phone calls, you know, and invite, if they've got a family emergency, but they've got clients ringing them. But if you're in an established business, and in our business, that's what the admin team are there for. They're there as that backup. So you can actually put an out of office on. You can actually turn your phone off while you're away, knowing that somebody else can take that call and your clients are still looked after. And if an advisor is needed immediately, we've got other advisors we can lean on to help. And I think that's quite an underrated one. And then I think that the shared experience, the ability to be self-employed, but be part of something. So we have, you know, 20 advisors within Tenet Financial Services at this moment in time. And, you know, they're all individuals, they're all located all over the UK, but we make plenty of opportunity for them to get together, share ideas, share referrals, share business. You know, if they haven't got the license, they can pass it over. And they wouldn't get that if they were a sole advisor within their own firm. So yeah, top three. I could do more, but they're a great top three.
I think it's a very, very good point on which to end on. Thank you very much, Amanda.
No problem. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks for your time, Amanda. I can really see how this route is the best option for some advisors. You can find out more about Tenet's self-employed offering on their website, tenet.co.uk. Thank you for listening to our podcast series with Tenet Group. We hope you found the content useful. If you have any questions, please contact them directly via their website.